It's a Painful Business on the Hour with Eddie Mayer was produced for 4Extra by Sarah Wade. And incidentally, you might like to know that you can listen into the Inheritance tracks of Alan Partridge here on 4Extra tomorrow just before midday. I expect he's put his best jumper on just for the occasion. You'll be needing your running shoes next week, though, to keep up with our very own classicist, Seventh Dimension presenter and keen runner Natalie Haynes as she finds out what it takes to run a marathon. From the original sprint by an ancient Greek messenger to archive recordings with rather more recent great marathoners, keep on running here on 4Extra next weekend.
BBC Radio 4Extra.
It's 12 midday. Hello, this is Joanna Pinnock. We have an hour of comedy now, including a classic from 1970 starring Kenneth Williams and Joan Sims. That's Stop Messing About, coming up in half an hour. And then later, Stephen Mangan and Claire Skinner return as two flatmates who meet up to talk about everything except how much they love each other. It's Lunch, the final series, coming up at 1 o'clock. First in this hour of comedy, though, we return to the days when Nick Revel and Giles Brandreth met at the Edinburgh Festival, got on rather well, and came up with this odd couple-style sitcom. They star now respectively as a retired left-wing stand-up comedian turned holistic therapist and a former Tory minister turned minor television celebrity. An interesting mix, wouldn't you say? From 2006, they are Living with the Enemy.
Living with the Enemy by Giles Brandreth and Nick Revel. Starring Nick Revel, Giles Brandreth and Gugu Mbatha-Raw.
Come on, for God's sake! Hello in there! Please open up, this is an emergency!
Who is it?
My name is Giles... Giles Brandon. I live in the flat downstairs.
Giles Brandon?
Yes, and...
Well, the real one?
Of course it's the real one, and what kind of a question is that?
Well, a question a lot of people must ask themselves at some time or another, frankly, as they gape vacantly at television in that strange late afternoon spiritual limbo. Is he for real, they must say? The sweaters, the teddy bears...
Will you listen to me? This is an emergency. Open the... door!
You're much more butch than you sound on the radio.
My flat is being flooded.
And that's my problem because?
The water is coming from your flat.
Oh, yeah? What makes you so sure?
My flat is the one directly below yours. Where's your bathroom? No, don't tell me. Could the clouds of steam be a clue? Or have the College of Cardinals just decided to elect a new pope from a flat in Hammersmith?
Oh, that water. Right.
I knew it.
Oh, I'm sorry, it slipped my mind.
Sorry? It's like a Poseidon adventure in here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sarcasm, the typical rhetorical device of an arrogant Tory gauleiter devoid of feeling.
Have you been smoking drugs?
I might have been. And if so, why? To deaden the pain of a government utterly lacking in fellow feeling and human charity, that's why.
You did hear there was a change of government in 1997. I'm sure it was in all the newspapers.
Yeah, I'm just saying. It was the brutality of the Tory regime that got me started. Nowadays, I just like getting high.
Perhaps you'd like to see the damage your revolutionary bathwater has inflicted on my reactionary citadel.
Since you put it like that, how can I refuse? To the barricades, comrade. Oh dear. It's pretty bad, isn't it?
This is no laughing matter.
I'm not laughing.
You're smirking.
Smirking, yes. Whole other thing, though, smirking.
Look at the state of it. The whole ceiling's come down. Plaster everywhere.
Look, look, I know you're angry, and I understand why, and I promise I will help you. But first, could you just be completely silent for about 5 seconds? Just let me take in the full beauty of the situation. You, the ruined flat, the look on your face. Okay, thank you. I know that was spiteful, but I really enjoyed it. Best dose of schadenfreude I've had since Mark Thatcher nearly got banged up in that African jail. OK, I'm in help mode now. I'm serious. First question. How will your jumpers survive?
Will you shut up about those sodding jumpers? I haven't worn one since 1988.
OK, OK, just asking. Oh, God, this place is tiny. Practically a bedsit.
Actually, it is a one-bedroom apartment with combined kitchenette, diner and guest room en suite. Now, of course, with postmodern interior water feature.
You're living in a bedsit. I mean, for anyone to be living in these conditions is appalling, but for you, an ex-cabinet minister, it's even funnier.
Whip's office.
Huh?
I was a government whip and a Lord Commissioner of the Treasury. I was never in the cabinet.
Oh, well, the irony still works for me. The Lord High Executioner...
Lord Commissioner.
Commissioner. Come to this. What was that noise?
The sound of a drunken lefty popinjay standing on the Lord Commissioner's mobile phone.
Look, I'm sorry. You better come up. And, Jesus, I'd better give you a bed for the night. I must have done something terrible in a previous life. You got everything you need in that bag. It's very small.
I've got everything I have in this bag. Nice place you have here.
Thank you. There's the phone. You'll be wanting to phone your insurance company to get them to come round first thing tomorrow so that you can move back in as soon as humanly possible and not be here in my flat.
Thank you. In fact, this is a very nice place.
You're very kind.
No, resentful. How does someone like you afford a flat like this?
Someone like me?
Yes, someone who looks like he gets fashion advice from Hugh Fernley Whittingstall and then gets dressed in the dark, and it's huge. How do you afford this on a social worker's salary?
Who says I'm a social worker?
You talk like a social worker. We've already established you look like a social worker.
I bet you've never even met a social worker.
I've met hundreds of social workers. Just never envied one before.
Well, I'm not a social worker and the phone's over there.
Thank you. That... Miro?
What about it?
It's an original.
Yeah, only a small one.
Are you a drug dealer?
I'm sensing a lot of anger and a little envy.
Oh, well, aren't you the super-sensitive, touchy-feely hippie then? Of course I'm angry. You've trashed my flat and now you're showing off your palatial bourgeois penthouse and your fancy art collection.
Why don't you sit down? You're going a funny colour.
And there are stairs. This place is on two floors.
Three if you count the roof garden.
Good God! Did we so liberate the housing ladder that even anarchist bohemian wastrels could mount it?
Really, please, sit down. You actually look like you're going to explode.
Take your hands off me, man!
It's okay, it's a calming technique. There's an acupressure point in your temples. Now breathe deep. That better?
Oh, yes, it is, actually.
Yeah, you see, you've already stopped flecking at the mouth. Now, when you've made your phone calls, I'll be on the roof terrace.
Two flights up.
You've got it.
Ah, there you are. I've spoken to my insurers, or at least to their call centre in Mumbai. Should be coming round in the morning.
Shh, look, down there in the garden, by the tree.
An urban fox. How utterly novel. You're taking photos of it. Surely in London the challenge is to get a photo without a fox in it.
No, no, you don't understand. Earlier on, the vixen was out with the cubs and one of them got its head stuck in a yoghurt carton. It was hilarious. The vixen was trying to pull it off. The cub was careering around. I was out here watching for, oh, it must have been an hour or more.
Are you telling me you wrecked my flat because you let the bath overflow while you were stalking vermin with a zoom lens?
It was compulsive viewing, and then a dog fox turns up and they started mating.
So, you destroyed my home because you were perving in the dark watching live fox-on-fox action?
They were mating after a litter had been born. That's utterly uncharacteristic. It means that foxes are developing a pleasure principle. Do you realise the implications of that?
Yes, you've got me as a house guest.
Yeah, you can't stay with friends. You do have friends.
Of course I do, but I couldn't possibly disturb them at this time of night. They'll all be in bed, or getting up and preparing to go home.
I'll get your room ready.
You can live with the shame of a Tory Gauleiter sullying the sanctity of your socialist sheets?
Actually, it'll be a duvet. I hope that's not too European for you.
Not at all, as long as the breakfast's not continental. Actually, speaking of breakfast, would you happen to have any food? I was about to eat when suddenly a chunk of plaster fell off the ceiling and caused considerable collateral damage to my boiled egg.
You've split up with your wife.
What makes you say that?
Bedsit, boiled egg. Even MI5 could draw the right conclusions from that evidence.
I'll be home by Christmas.
Of course you will. So, food. I've only got macrobiotic vegan.
What animal does that come from?
No, you don't understand.
That's a joke. I'm still a carnivore. But I'm on the veggie cusp. What stops me is the thought of the bottom dropping out of the livestock market and all those poor, innocent animals that would have to be senselessly slaughtered.
We better go for a takeaway.
You've no moral objections to me consuming meat on the premises, then?
It's your own karma you're blackening.
Karma? How sweet. It's like being in a 60s movie. Talking of karma, did I tell you I once met the Dalai Lama? It was at a drinks party hosted by Bernard Matthews, of all people.
One of the oldest lifts in London, this, you know.
Bit of a nightmare when one's pissed, I shouldn't wonder.
Yeah, you could lose a finger in those concertina doors.
Or worse.
Good evening, Mr. Brandon.
Oh, good evening, Harry. How are you?
It's Barry, sir. Harry was on the early shift.
Oh, I do apologise. You look so similar.
I never get us mixed up.
No? Is that because you're brothers?
No, sir. He's taller.
Yes, well, anyway, I've had a slight problem with water in my flat, so...
Have you read my pamphlet yet?
Been a bit pressed, actually.
Well, you ought to, sir. The last days are nigh, you know.
Oh, only too well.
In fact, nigh on totally nigh.
Yes, anyway, for the next couple of days, I'll be staying at,
Mr. Reynolds.
Mr. Reynolds. Would it be possible to have my mail redirected?
I see, sir. So, that's everything for Mr. Brandon in 313 being redirected to Mr.
Reynolds.
In
415.
No problem. Okay, sir, enjoy your evening.
Thank you.
Oh, yes, and you.
He knew your name. He knew which flat you were in. He was civil. He looked at me like I was force-feeding crack to a toddler.
Well, once you've been here a bit longer.
I've been here 8 years.
Oh, well, let's eat anyway. Mr. Reynolds, was it?
That's right.
Do you have a first name?
Yeah, but I'm not going to give it to you. You know, this the way some tribes believe if you know someone's real name, you can cast spells on them. I mean, with you being an ex-Tory minister, I just don't want to take any chances. It's Nick. So what do you fancy?
What is there?
Wide selection, really. Bangladeshi, Chinese, North Indian, South Indian, Greek, Turkish, Sri Lankan, Australian barbecue. Oh, and the New Zealand tapas bar might still be open.
What an eloquent and powerful justification for empire.
What? The range of takeaway food available in Hammersmith?
Indeed! They did not risk their lives nor endure their hardship in vain, those brave explorers, those intrepid pioneers... Nor indeed those hapless natives. You did us proud, servants of the empire. We look at the abundance your sacrifices have wrought, and we salute you and give thanks.
Do you talk like that all the time?
Like what?
Never mind.
Tell me, how do you feel as a man of the people living in a mansion block with uniformed hall porters?
Well, provides employment, keeps the place nice. Anyway, where are we going to go?
I don't mind, but a couple of very charming-looking young women have just gone into the tapas bar.
Really? Frankly, I have to say, I find the idea of using the ethos of sexual objectification of other human beings as a decision generator for what food to eat both offensive, ridiculous, and morally degenerate.
Do you talk like that all the time?
Just think it's wrong to objectify women.
There is more than just a lustful imperative involved. Yes, I concede that the girls caught my eye in a disgracefully superficial way that did indeed involve a bat squeak of desire, a little tremor in the chinos. But they also seemed quite well-dressed and rather healthy-looking. So from a brief appraisal of their general demeanour, I would say that they're used to considering with some discernment what kind of late-night eateries they frequent, and thus their decision, while admittedly imperfect information for us to act on, is better than nothing.
Jesus, it's Adam Smith meets Nuts magazine.
And if it turns out I'm completely wrong and they don't care two hoots about what they put into their bodies, then the silver lining is we might get lucky.
Let's just order some food.
Mm-hmm. This all looks rather good. Eel and poor platter, wild boar spare ribs, stuffed horopito leaves, and here's your kelp.
Thank you. Is that a look of pity?
Kelp.
I like kelp. Would you like some tea or a drink?
Oh, tea will be fine for me. I'll pretend I'm back in the constituency and go for a nice cup of good old British workperson's char.
Actually, I don't have tea bags.
Oh.
I can offer Assam, Darjeeling or China White.
China White? I thought he was a snooker player. Don't look at me like that. I thought it was rather witty.
There's an Icelandic proverb that every man enjoys the smell of his own farts. China white tea is just like China green, which, as you know, is unfermented and therefore higher in various antioxidants. But unlike China green, the buds for China white are plucked at dawn before the sun's rays have caused the buds to open, thus giving them a more delicate flavour.
Gosh. When you talk like that, I can just see you storming the barricades, inspiring your comrades with pithy fireside chats like that to while away the quieter moments between overthrowing dictators. Actually, I once met Che Guevara. It was when I was at Oxford. I was secretary of the University Havana Cigar Society. And, well, good grief. Visitors at this time of night?
Let's have a look. It's a girl.
Let me have a look. Oh, isn't she pretty? Aren't you a sly old bohemian hellraiser?
What do you take me for?
Your private life is no concern of mine. I shall retire discreetly.
Don't be ridiculous. No idea who she is.
Only one way to find out. I'll be in the kitchen, eavesdropping.
Yes?
Oh, thank heavens you are here. You are the only person who can help me. I'm in a terrible predicament. You will help me, won't you? You must help me.
Well, it's possible. Just one thing. Who are you?
Your little Sophie. You have known me since I was a child.
Kinky.
I don't think so.
I am Sophie, and you are the government minister.
Oh, very kinky.
Do I look like a government minister?
Yes. Yes, you are my godfather. I have been trying to call you, but your phone is not working. I asked for you, and the porter sent me up here.
I think I can explain. Sophie, I am Giles.
Oh, Giles, you must help me. Thank heavens I have found you.
Yes, yes, yes. Enough of the embracing.
This is your goddaughter?
Who has hitherto ignored all my polite social invitations while she has been in London?
Yes. Hello. My name is Sophie.
Nick.
So, tell me, Sophie, what makes you seek out the company of the boring old lecher all of a sudden?
Huh?
That's what you called me on the only occasion when we did meet socially.
I don't remember.
Champagne cocktails at the Sanderson Hotel?
Oh, yes. It was a lovely evening. I didn't call you a boring old lecher.
Not to my face, no. I overheard.
Oh, okay. Maybe I did. But how could I call you anything to your face? All night you were talking only to my breasts. But anyway, I forgive you.
You forgive me? How terribly generous.
I am in trouble. Big trouble.
How did you find me?
Well, I went to your house, and your wife, she told me she had thrown you out, and I'm so sorry to hear about that. It must be so painful, not to say humiliating. She told me all the details to lose your woman to another woman. In my country, a man would walk into the forest and let wild beasts eat him before he would live with such dishonor. But here it is a different set of values, I understand that.
Sophie, Sophie, calm down, have a seat. Tell us exactly what's happened.
Well, I am out to dinner with friends, and the bill come, and I try to pay, but my card don't work, and also not at the cash point. So I think, who can help me? Only Giles.
The boring old lecher.
Exactly. So I get a taxi. I get a taxi to your house, and then your wife give me money to come here in the taxi, and she say, go be a burden on him, the irresponsible scumbag. So I come, and why do you keep scum in a bag? Anyway, I have no money. I am in big trouble. I am forlorn and all alone and full of woe and tribulation.
Now you know how I felt inside when you called me boring old lecher.
Okay, Sophie, it's okay. Here, have a tissue.
Thank you.
That's right, take her side.
Time out for a second. Just want to take stock of the evening so far. An ex-conservative government minister stroke TV personality, in inverted commas, knocks on my door. I end up buying him dinner and giving him a bed for the night. About an hour later, a girl who makes Naomi Campbell look like a raddled old warthog rings my doorbell and has hysterics on my sofa. Here, have another tissue.
Thank you.
And she also begs a bed for the night. She looks like she's on the verge of a nervous breakdown, and all you can do is bear a grudge because she once called you a boring old lecher. All accurate so far?
Yes.
Right, OK, so you're both in on this, yeah?
In on what?
There's a hidden camera somewhere. It's another reality show. I've been set up by some friends, right? It's some bizarre cross between You've Been Framed and The Moral Maze.
I swear it's not. But do you mind if I make a note of that? It's rather a good idea. Go down well on more four, I think.
Sophie, forgive me, we haven't met before, but I have to say that for someone who's merely maxed out their credit card, you do seem to be overreacting a little.
But you don't understand.
No, I don't.
There has been a coup.
A coup? Of course, a coup! And yet, my card is still working. Just lucky, I guess.
Yes. My father and my uncle. The government have been overthrown.
This is getting really weird. Coup? A coup d'etat?
Yes. You see, about 20 years ago, I was a junior trade minister, and I visited the former French colony of Equatorial Nkundu. You've probably never heard of it,
West Nick, Africa.
I'm impressed.
For a while, I made a living from pub quizzes. Capital de Gaulle, gained independence 1964, football team playing blue and yellow, main exports...
So, 20 years ago, I was on a trade mission out there selling...
Selling?
Let's say setting up a multifaceted trade deal, which most importantly preserves several thousand manufacturing jobs in factories in the north of England. My constituency, actually. Anyway, so Sophie's father, Napoleon Okuwu, he was then the defence procurement, trade minister. And her beautiful mother, she really was called Josephine, actually. Well, they were very kind to me, thoroughly hospitable. And I was pretty charming myself, come to think of it. And anyway, I was made godfather to their darling daughter, Sophie, here.
Napoleon Okuwu. Brother was president for life.
Charlemagne.
That's right. Charlemagne, my uncle.
There was that horrible joke. Makes his opponents work in fast food restaurants as the menu.
Please. It is not my fault my uncle is a dictator with blood on his lips. How do you think it makes me feel? I am an innocent victim just as much as any of his other victims.
But probably the only one of his victims dripping diamonds and clad in Versace from head to toe. If you're in London... How do you know there's been a coup in Nkundu?
Because I leave the restaurant and first I go home. There are men in the flat, wrecking the place. They are from Nkundu, exiles.
They told you?
Of course not. I heard them talking. I ran away. If they had seen me, I would be dead.
Dead? As in dead?
Yes.
Serious?
Seriouser than even you think. I had 4 pairs of Jimmy shoes in that flat.
Jimmy Choo, that's a make of shoe, right?
Yes!
You seem more upset about the shoes than the fate of your family.
So? My family I haven't seen since I was little. My shoes I see every day. My family, they send me off to boarding school in Europe when I am 10. My shoes, they make me feel good, look good, help me get around. My father and my uncle, they were just gangsters.
Who paid for your Jimmy Choo's?
What am I going to do? Not take the money? Then my uncle would have me killed as a traitor.
Can't your mother help you out?
My mother? Oh, yes, my mother. You remember my mother?
Yes, I do, actually. Rather well. Is she in prison?
No. She is not with my father anymore. She is in Martinique, or Cannes, or Saint Moritz. I don't see her. But she phoned me.
Oh, to check you were okay?
No. She phoned to see if I have access to my father's Swiss bank accounts. That's sweet, no?
More concerned for money than her daughter's welfare. How callous.
Yes, how callous.
And that is my story. I'm sorry I called you a boring old lecher.
Well, to be fair, I suppose it's only the boring part I really object to.
So, may I assume so bold that I may stay tonight?
Of course you can. Oh, Nick, I'm sorry, it's your flat.
No. Of course you can. Sophie, make yourself at home.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
No problem. Here, have some kelp.
No, thank you. I am sorry to cause you so much trouble and intrude upon your love nest.
Love nest?
You are not lovers?
No!
But you are so different. One of you in the posh corduroys and the striped shirt, the other like Keith Richards. I assume it was, how you say, rough trade thing going down?
Certainly not.
How come then that you live together?
Because a fox had sex with a fox out of season.
It's a long story. Do you have any other clothes?
In my flat, yes. With me. Nothing but what you see me stand up in.
Okay, well, look, I don't think I've got much in my wardrobe that would suit a girl of your age, but I should be able to find you some jeans and a sweatshirt, unless... Charles, you were in Thatcher's government. Got any spare twin sets downstairs by any chance?
Had to burn them all to show loyalty to the new leadership, actually. Replaced them with a bicycle, as a matter of fact.
Jeans and a sweatshirt will be fine, thank you. And if you don't mind, I think I will crash out right now.
Sure, let me show you a bedroom.
And this is the bathroom?
Yeah, but the carpet's a bit soggy in that one. You'd best use the other one down the hall. Just make sure you don't let it overflow, because we haven't really got room for anyone else now. Well, the daughter of the African dictator is fast asleep. The Tory MP is on my sofa. End of another dull and predictable day.
Oh, I know we've got a lot to talk about, but I have to confess, Nick, I am exhausted. Could we do it in the morning?
Yes, sure. I'll put you on the second floor if you want to follow me.
Oh, look at all these posters. Support the miners. No nukes. Solidarity with the Turkish steelworkers. Free Nelson Mandela. It's like a walk down memory lane, or should I say a march down memory lane.
There's no need to be flippant.
Oh, please, that wasn't flippant. It was vaguely witty. A march down memory lane, culminating in a rally in Nostalgia Square.
Yeah, actually, I'd rather you didn't do that, please.
Not do what? Make conversation.
Trivialise some of the most important events of the late 20th century.
Oh, dear, my deepest apologies. Trivial and flippant. It's so not me.
Yeah. I mean, what were you doing through that period? Probably swigging vintage champagne and snorting cocaine through rolled-up share certificates in suspenders and a Nazi uniform.
Your words bring back memories. You've got the power of a Proustian Madeleine there. Oh, and what's this? A poster. With your... It's your face. Nick Reynolds. You're that Nick Reynolds. I'm Nick Reynolds. Thank you and good night. I thought I knew your name. You used to be an alternative comedian.
In a previous life.
I used to love your stuff in the 80s.
You did?
Yes. I mean, it was foul-mouthed and infantile, left-wing and satirical, but funny in its own way. Why did you give it up?
Well, you've just answered your own question, haven't you? It's pointless, isn't it? Airing cupboard there, bathroom. Making people laugh? What kind of a job is that? Standing there night after night, hundreds of people baying with laughter. All you're doing is distracting them from the pain and injustice of society, making them feel good, forget about their problems. You're just an anaesthetic for capitalism. Towser in that cupboard. giving people a good laugh, you might as well join the Gestapo.
And what are you doing now to stay one step ahead of a compulsory place in a halfway house?
I'm an alternative therapist. Acupuncture, reflexology, massage, spiritual irrigation.
Oh, forgive me for being rude, but isn't that just a lot of hot air and mumbo-jumbo that can earn you pots of dough if you've got the neck to trick people into believing it can do any good?
That's rich, coming from a former Member of Parliament.
You clearly haven't lost your comic instincts. By the way, I am sorry to involve you in all this.
Well, like I say, I have to confess, I didn't expect to finish the day giving house room to an accomplice of an infamous tyrant.
Oh, come on, you can't blame Sophie for her father's crimes.
I wasn't talking about Sophie.
There you go again.
I'm Nick Reynolds. Thank you and good night.
Good night. Bloody hell!
What?
On the wall! A full set of The Rake's Progress. Tell me it's a copy.
Afraid not.
Good God! You made more out of Thatcherism than I did.
Good job, isn't it? Or you'd be sleeping under a bridge tonight.
Living with the Enemy was written by Giles Brandreth and Nick Revel and starred Nick Revel, Giles Brandreth and Gugu Mbatha-Raw. It also featured Martin Hyder. Original music by Ben Walker. The producer was Ed Morris.
And Living with the Enemy continues here on 4 Extra on Monday at 7 in the morning and later at 5.
The digital station for comedy, drama and entertainment. BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Now from April 1970, how do you fancy a bit of cosy fan tutti? The first show of series two of Stop Messing About features a rather bijou male voice choir, which consists of just two, Julian and Sandy. But first, all rise, please.
Prisoner at the bar, you are accused of driving a four-ton articulated lorry under the influence of drink, refusing to take a blood test, using foul and profane language,